WOMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast,
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness, Mikael Mears' Financial Consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. And unlike our last show where I thought we were doing a live show on Wednesday, it is live today with Tracy McBurney. Yay!
Hello, Lori.
And I always love it when Tracy listens to the opener and hears her name and goes, what?
No, it's the incredible whatever it is.
Energy.
And I'm just like, really? I have consciousness. To live up to that?
And she always does. She always does.
Scary.
Well, today should be a very interesting topic because we're going to talk about soul and family contracts because it's been coming up in her world lately. And
therefore coming up in my world, my inner world, clearly and obviously.
And so I'm excited about this because I think there's a lot with this that, one, I don't know, and I'm going to find out.
And maybe we'll find out more together because I'm actually just starting to explore the topic more in depth. And it's funny because every once in a while I just feel like spirit or my guides takes me on a little bit of a ride. And sometimes it's a ride that lasts for a year or a year and a half or 2 years. And sometimes it's kind of like, okay, we're going to teach you something and it's going to last for a month or a month and a half or 2 months. And we're going to deeply immerse you in a topic of understanding. And that's kind of what's happening. So over the month of July and the end of June, I've been kind of deeply immersed in this idea of soul contracts and family contracts and whatever contracts are coming next, because I have a feeling it's even bigger than family contracts, probably contracts with humanity or something. Definitely what was also coming up this week for a client was contracts with some level of darkness. Okay. So that was also quite interesting. Okay, so here's what I know. Now, consciously, here's what I understand consciously, which I find very interesting. So first off, most of us have at least one soul contract operating in our minds. And I think that's the important thing. It's not almost like you have a soul contract with another person, like the two of you fist bumped each other and said, okay, we've got a contract to resolve this now, looking into each other's eyes, deeply committed to this idea. Mostly what I'm finding is the soul contracts, and actually this has been confirmed when I asked guides about it, mostly the soul contracts that we have with people are in our own minds. So it is very much related to a feeling of badness, a feeling of guilt, a feeling of shame that overcomes us at a time in our history. And we want to do better, or we feel like we need to do better with relation to this other person. And so it's almost like we make a contract in our own mind to make that right with this other person, or to do better for this other person, or to shift something or change something in our relationship with this other person. But it's in our minds. We didn't fist bump with that other person and kind of make that agreement. It's all done inside of our own heads. But I think the interesting thing about these contracts that people don't understand, and so it's kind of that, forgive me for what I cannot see, divine, forgive me for what I did not know. When I make a contract, when I sit and I hold a contract with another person in my mind, or I fist bump and hold it with them in reality, we get locked, I get locked in the bubble of that past. So in other words, whatever was going on energetically at that time in your history, when you made that internal contract outside of yourself or within yourself, you are now locked in that ball of energy with that person. It's like you're trapped in a relationship with that person that shows up over and over and over again while that contract in your mind is still installed in that way, and it actually grows. So I'll give you an example about what I've seen. a person who literally has known, let's say, their husband. They've known their husband in another lifetime as their child. And they did not feel that they took care of that child well enough. You know, didn't send that child to university or didn't feed that child well or wasn't there for that child or couldn't save that child from getting sick from some plague and dying, right?
Right.
So I failed that child. I failed to nourish that child. I failed to send that child. I failed to give that child what it needed to grow strong, whatever it is. But I failed that child. And so there is a guilt connected to that relationship. There may be a shame connected to that relationship that is still alive. And internally, that soul contracts with itself and contracts within its own heart to want to do something different. You know, I wished I'd done something different. If I only had another chance. And so when they meet that soul again, another life, how long does it take before they remember that contract internally? And in this particular case, start treating that person, who is that lovely person, who's a 40-year-old man, like their child, like somebody they need to take care of. This actually happened between my husband and I. And I saw this right from the very beginning. In other words, I saw myself behaving in the strangest way right from the very beginning of meeting him. And so then I would describe that as from the very moment I was in the vibrational field of him, the bubble of that conflict from that lifetime awoke. I picked up that energy of him. Maybe it's looking into his eyes that did it, and I recognized him from that, or a laugh or a smile or whatever it was. And then, boom, I'm in that ball of energy. And because I'm in that ball of energy and I've made that soul contract with him within my own heart, within my own mind, I now start to desire, very fully start to desire to take care of him. In this particular instance, my husband was somebody that I met at the restaurant I was managing at that time in my other life, in this life.
Yes.
When I had a completely other profession and another career. And I was managing and general managing restaurants, and that was really where my first career was. And so he technically was a person who had been hired contractually to come and work for us as an entertainer. And this was the first time that I'd met him, because I was not the person that actually hired this particular person to come in and play for us. Immediately upon seeing him and being in his energy field, within a half an hour, I was asking him whether he knew how to play a song. And when he said, no, I don't know how to play that song, it just happened to have been one of my favorite songs, and one that I thought was very relevant to the acoustical job that he was doing, I went, well, everybody should know how to play that song. Like, that's just a staple. Like, everybody should. And then, of course, what did I do? I went all the way down the street next day on my day off to buy a $40 book of sheet music to bring back to this musician that I barely knew, hand to him, to say, here, now you can learn the song. Because to me, it wasn't about, gee, you're deficient. It wasn't about anything like that. It was, here, let me take care of you. These are songs that you should probably know in your career, and let here have the book. I didn't just buy him the sheet music. I bought him the book. In this particular instance, the entire Cat Stevens collection. I mean, it was like a 45. I don't know this man.
Yeah.
And yet I knew this man.
Right.
We end up 3 or 4 years later married. When he first saw me, he immediately thought, my wife. Me, I must have immediately thought, my child, right? That does not make for a good marriage. There's going to be problems coming together all the way along. So fast forward, how many years? We've been married for, I think we're having our wedding anniversary in about a week, and so it will be 16 years. My son is 14. There have been ongoing situations where I have felt the need to care for him, but to care for him in a way that I'd speak to him sometimes like he was my child. I'd play that role of being the authority figure. He would then respond in the way that he would respond to a mother. So really, there was this energetic of mother-child in our relationship, and it'd been there, smatterings of it, and sometimes lots of it, all the way along this 16 years. And I was getting really sick of it. I don't want to be your mother. I want you to mother yourself. I want you to take care of yourself. But we were deeply immersed in that ball. And what I didn't see was it was my ball. I was the one that was pushing for this energetic. He was responding in that way because I was pushing out that energy of you are my child. So when I start to realize that I have a soul contract and that it's actually my contract to him, my responsibility then to take care of, then I start to get really upset. Because to me, I don't want to be out of this relationship. I love him for many, many different reasons. I don't want the relationship to be over. I don't want it to be over for many reasons. But, you know, lots of just, I love him. I love his music. I love some of the things that we share together. We've got tons of things in common. I didn't want this relationship to end. But what I thought at that time is if I'm done with that soul contract, I'm done with him. And I think that's one of the things that's operating in the deep unconscious of a lot of us, is we don't sever the relationship with these soul contracts when we actually even recognize we're behaving in ways towards this person that we don't want to behave like. And then, of course, we point the finger and we say, well, you know, you need to stop treating me like your mother. Instead of recognizing maybe I need to stop treating you like my child. And why am I treating you like my child? Do I have a soul contract that sees you as that, that's locked into seeing you as that? And then I don't want that contract to be gone because I don't want to end this. And so I think that's the other piece, is we keep these soul contracts alive. Now, I will preface that there are two kinds of contracts here. You and I can be in a relationship that's what I call a divine soul contract. In other words, divinely written. Right? It was literally created by that divine within ourselves and beyond. That's very different. A divine soul contract can last for a lifetime in a relationship. But these other soul contracts that were created from our guilt, our shame, our negative emotions, our judgment, our fear, mostly our judgment, these are things that we have to take some responsibility to release ourselves from. And so I think I'm really happy today to be talking about this on radio, to just say to people, look, if you're in that situation where you really feel like you're in a relationship with someone and you're behaving in ways that you don't want to behave like anymore, or they're behaving in ways to you that you don't want them to behave like anymore, chances are there's probably a soul contract. There's a remembrance of unfinished business or hearts unhealed that have not been reconciled. And please know to ask your divine within yourself and beyond to release you from that contract, to dissolve that contract, because you created it. So if you created it, you're allowed to say dissolve it. You're allowed to say uncreate it. Uncreate it, dissolve it, remove it. You're allowed to say that. You are the author of it. There's nothing else involved in this soul contract other than you. And once you are done with that, and you literally say, I'm done with that, to say I'm done with anything is like picking up a machete in the world and just going slash, I'm done, cut, sever. Very powerful words, which I think I knew, which is why I didn't want to say I'm done with that contract, because I didn't want to be done with him. I just didn't want to treat him like that anymore, and I didn't want him to treat me like that anymore. You know, it gets a little difficult to get into bed and feel sensual and sexy next to somebody who you think of as your child.
We need to go to break. We'll go to break on that thought, because that's a good one. Think about that. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I am Tracy McBurney. You can find out more about Tracy on the web at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. If you have any questions and you want to call in, we'll probably take callers a little bit later on, but you can give us a call now, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685, or come in on instant feedback, but be really, really clear about what it is that's going on if you want to have assistance from Tracy from that. But I think best way to contact her would be phone. All right, we're going on break. You're listening to Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Coming up Tuesday on New Sky Radio at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Sound Effects. Explore the effects of sound on the body and environment with sound therapist Doreen Davis. Coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern, it's Radio to Thrive By with the Dr. Pat Radio Show. At 3 p.m. Eastern, join Laura Lee in the Spirit Salon. Coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern, it's the Colette Baron Reed Show. Join Colette for her fun, fast-paced show all about you. Be sure to call in early. The phones are hot. Coming up at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, explore your career options with career coach Caroline. At 6 p.m. Eastern, tap into your moment of change with Sherry Gaba and Kathleen O'Connor. Shea Parker introduces us all to today's top metaphysical specialists on Metaphysical Minds at 7 p.m. Shea, the best of the best American psychics, take to the air at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At 9 p.m. Eastern, grab your psychic cup of coffee with Kelly Sutliff. Step into the enchanted world of Monty Farber at 10 p.m. Eastern. And at 11 p.m., it's the Zodiac Girls. So sexy, so cool. Tonight on New Sky Radio. For more on these shows and all New Sky Radio shows, check out newskyradio.com/show. New Sky Radio at radio.com. Powered by CBS Radio.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
It's Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Tracy McBurney here. Now, for those of you that were listening, we left it at a very, very
interesting.
Yes. Spot about, you know, how you can, how it affects and impacts. I think there are a lot of people in relationship that certain area is very challenging. And usually it's around communication, but maybe it's more around these stories or these soul contracts that we've created.
Yep, I wouldn't know, but I'll go back to where we hung on the last. there's no question that sometimes that whole contract between my husband and I affected our sex life. There is no question. If I was running from that place, if I was in that energy ball, then he is my child, something to take care of, and that would be a hurdle that I would have to get over to find it okay to sleep with him that night. And if he wasn't being good, remember I'm playing the mother, so if he's not being good, then, you know, why would I want to be close to him in the first place? Like, why would I want to, you know, in other words, let me just distance from you for a little bit, you know, because you're just a little hard to take right now. Or, what do we call it as mom? Because I am a mom, time out. Like, now it's the mom that wants to take a time out. There were a few times when I was raising our son where I would look at him sometimes and I'd kind of laugh and I'd say, you know what, mommy's misbehaving. So I'm just going to go take a time out. I'm going to go take a time out. So you just need to sit here and be a little quiet and keep up and go, that's an interesting concept. Mommy's taking a time out, but, you know, I thought it was good. So it would be the same instance. It would right. be me needing to take a time out from my husband because you're behaving in a certain way that is so not okay for the mother authority of me. And none of this is good for bedroom experience. There was another soul contract that had nothing to do with my husband, but I was immersing him in, and it had to do with my brother. Mm-hmm. So a soul contract in my own mind with my own brother. And every once in a while, just every once in a while, maybe twice in 16 years, I would see an overlay of my brother's face in my husband. And because I don't see pictures in my head much, that was really odd.
And I
knew it was important to notice. But I didn't know to call it soul contract. Now I do, and now that's moved. So I feel like my husband and I, in the last little while, are in a really great place because we're in a relationship where those soul contracts that were in my own mind are not there. And I'm looking at him and feeling certain ways, freer to feel certain more authentic ways about him in present time. Yeah, we're having a more present time relationship. And we've done some work with my husband and soul contracts as well. So we're sitting here in a more present time relationship. And, you know, we're liking it. Hmm. Right? So it's almost like, wow, neither one of us is done with this. We're not really vocalizing it, but it's almost like, wow, we're just beginning in this.
Mm-hmm.
To have a pure, more authentic relationship with each other that doesn't have any of that stuff connected to it. So it's lovely. So I think soul contracts are something that people really need to pay some attention to. Lastly on this particular event, as I was saying it before we ever started, it's this idea that I'm now starting to understand, you know, because some families have more drama than others.
Mm-hmm.
And they really do. Like, yeah. Some families are just riddled in chaos and conflict and drama.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering now how much of this drama, this chaos, this conflict that seems to be the endless thing in families that never seems to get really resolved in therapy, how much of that is related to soul contracts or family contracts that have not been dissolved, that have not been renegotiated? In other words, what I said to you in the beginning is when you have that soul contract in your mind or actually authentically with another person, you are trapped in a ball of energy. And so you're trapped in an old drama, including trapped in the guilt. You're trapped in the guilt. You're trapped in the blame. You're trapped in all of that feeling of bad around yourself trying to make something better. You're just trapped in all. And then whatever else was in that ball, was in that original experience, whatever else it was, whatever energy. So if it was an energy of betrayal, if there was an energy of unfaithfulness, if there was an energy of anger, if there was an energy of hate, if there was an energy of contempt, then that all comes along in the person. If there was an energy of blame of self, if there was an energy of deep sorrow or sadness, then that comes along in the drama. And so it's almost like the repeating Groundhog Day from that movie, except the issue is you never really repeat it just the same way because you are a creator. So you're always building on it, meaning you're growing the pain exponentially. And I think people need to see that. When we do not let these things lie to rest, when we do not reconcile these things, when we do not release these contracts and release ourselves from these old debts, when we do not release ourselves from these old karmic patterns and contracts, when we don't do that work, these things stay alive within us. You know, it's not the idea that we should remember them. It's the idea that we should lay them to rest, that we should allow all of this to find its way to total and absolute neutrality. So it's something that was an experience from the past, and it is in the past. It's done. We're done with that now. And because we allowed our divine to reconcile that from within us and beyond, not only are we done with that, we walk with the greater wisdom that this divine delivers to us. So we are smarter for the experience. We know more for having been in it. We don't need to continue to hold the vibration and frequency of remembering, including everything that we were remembering in that soul contract, that drama. We don't need to keep that drama alive in our relationship selfishly for our needs. Like, I think that's the other thing, is it's a very selfish, self-serving, self-involved thing to do, to continue to hold these soul contracts, especially when we begin to understand that we have them. We begin to think that we have them. But what I was sharing with you at break and before we ever came on is how riddled with no I was when I finally got the conscious idea that there was this soul contract between my husband and I. I didn't want to release it. I didn't see it as a selfish act. I didn't see it as a selfish act of continuing to keep this drama alive within us. I didn't see it as any of that. I saw it as, I have to keep this alive. It's the only way that we know how to be in this relationship, and I want us to continue to be in relationship. So in other words, I didn't want to be like that anymore. And he didn't want to be like that anymore. But we didn't want to be without this because this was binding us. And so it's almost like, what do I call it? Damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, the relationship is over if you release it. And you're damned if you keep it intact because it starts to destroy and erode your sex life. It starts to destroy and erode how you feel about this man because he's not stepping up, right?
Yeah.
Right? If you're always treating him as that child, but then there's a part of you that's not part of that ball, that really wants him to man up, that really wants him to kind of take a different place in the world. But he's still trapped in this ball. And I'm the one that's trapped in. Then how selfish and self-involved is that? That I have trapped this man in this ball, and then a part of me is angry that you're not showing up more in a different way. And from an unconscious level, the guy's probably sitting there going, excuse me, I'm showing up in exactly the way that you need and want me to show up for your own selfish needs to try and release yourself from this guilt. And now you're angry at me that I'm not showing up in a different way. Look at the insanity of that.
Yeah.
You know, once I started to really get that, I had to look into the eyes of my husband and literally just look at him and say, I am sorry. He thought I was insane. He didn't know even what I was doing. But I wanted to talk to his soul. I am sorry for impinging on the freedom of your soul to travel the road that you, your soul, wish to travel. And I've locked your soul here in my drama for all of these years, trying to make better in my heart what I needed to make better. And I didn't know another way to make it better. And obviously, at the time that I created this soul contract, there was no concept of divine. There was no concept of internal work or internal divine or even a God outside of myself that might actually sort this. So it was for me to sort And that's how I sorted it. And now it's time to apologize, recognize what I did, take responsibility, move it out, ask divine to take this contract and see how the marriage is now, which is good.
All right. So you are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney. You can find out more about Tracy if you go to her website, tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. We will be back with more information on soul contracts and family contracts and maybe look at how karma sort of fits in with this. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. Intuitive Soul and Friends, and I have Tracy McBurney with me here today, so it is live. If you do want to call in and have a question, you can call us now, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. We've been talking about contracts and soul contracts, family contracts. Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't actually talked about family contracts, but...
We got a good one over the break.
Yeah, we did. So just to segue, you can have contracts for people within families that are actually creating a lot of disharmony, chaos, and conflict for the family. And sometimes when I see that or when I hear about that, like the sisters that are always at each other, for example, or the brother, the Cain and Abel story of the two brothers, mm-hmm. I kind of want to ask now, is there some, especially when it's impacting and affecting other people in the family, you know how sometimes these things don't? Like, it's almost like, oh, that's my brother's, you know, they're just doing their thing, and it just washes off your back, and there's no effect to you whatsoever, really. It's kind of like, nah, it's just them. But when other people in the family are actually affected or deeply affected by what is the constant bickering or arguing or drama of the two people involved, or three or four, then I have to ask, is there family contract? Is there something that, and how big is that family contract? In other words, is the family contract just contracted to the nuclear family of the brothers, the sisters, the mother, the father? Or does it go farther than that? Is it bigger than that? Is it generational? Is it epigenetic? Is it a family contract that this is the way we're going to behave? Like a family contract of honor? Family. I see this sometimes when secrets are held in families for generations. And I'm working with somebody in my office who is sworn to secrecy. And it's almost like I have to pull the secret out intuitively because she will not say it. And now I look, now that I see this, I'd always seen it as, wow, we have to remove you from this vow of secrecy. But I hadn't really seen it as the potential family contract to keep the secret. And so I've seen that in my office. And now I kind of go, huh, I wonder, as we were releasing the vow of secrecy for this person or these people, were we actually getting at the family contract as well? Or were we just getting at one
person's
nidge of something, like one dimension of something that was actually bigger? So families can have contracts to keep them at war, for example.
Right.
Like, I have clients in my office, and I actually truly believe that the family, the larger family, going back generations, holds themselves in a state of war. Because in a state of war, when I look back at this particular family, in a state of war, that is where they achieve their greatest honor, their greatest medals, the greatest level of respect, accolades, all the stuff that an ego would like, right, in an unenlightened state, was delivered more openly and easily in states of war than it ever was when the family was at peace. So that so that kind of makes sense. And so it's almost like, we want you to do well. We want you to achieve. We want you to accomplish. You produce in this family, accomplish in this family, and hold this pattern. You are contracted to stay in some state of war so that you can achieve, so that you can succeed, so you can produce at your highest potential. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
That we might have seen in the past some men coming back from war, having achieved what is seen at that time as their highest potential, and then binding the family into continuing the war so that people could achieve highest potential, and not really seeing a more divine way for achieving highest potential, and then questioning, was that truthfully even that person's highest potential?
Well, sure, wouldn't it have been.
You know, was that even the truth?
No, right.
But it certainly was their truth at this time. And so that's what I see. I think it's a really, it's an interesting thing. So I think family contracts are quite prevalent, and I think they work with tradition of family and culture. So I think we can be contracted culturally in families or in communities. Who knows? Maybe there are contracts with countries. Maybe what I'm looking at is freeing my soul. How am I bound? How am I bound in ways that my soul, it's not in my soul's best interest to be bound? And so I think the reason why contracts even came into my consciousness is because that's what I was asking. Divine, how am I bound? How is my soul bound? How is my soul limited in ways that it is not in my soul's highest and best interest to be limited or bound? Please deliver this to me. Please release me from these things. Deliver me into states of consciousness around them when it is important for me to understand. Release me from them when it is not. Tell me about it later if it's important for me to understand as a teacher. In other words, more and more I'm saying, could you lift it from me now tell me about it later. In other words, don't try to teach it to me in the darkness, but as a teacher, I'd like to know it because I'd like to be able to explain it because I'll always be teaching. But I don't necessarily want to suffer or stay in some place of darkness, mulling my way through the mud, trying to get through whatever that is. So one of my favorite things these days is, could you lift it from me now and deliver me the understanding later if it's important for the soul of me or the teacher of me in highest good to know. So I do. I think that that's probably why soul contract, family contract, why these things came to my understanding now. And obviously it was important for me to understand it. And even as I talk about it, I get excited. I get excited. It's like to be able to explain it as simply as this. And I think it's good. It's a good explanation. I think it's enough. And I love the fact that I can say from a truthful place, just ask your divine within you and beyond to release you from these if they're not in your highest and best interest. And trust that this does not have to be the severing of this relationship. In fact, you can even ask for that. You know, release me from this contract, but maintain me in this relationship. In other words, I'm not ready to be released from this relationship. You can even state that out loud or state that inside of yourself from your heart. I was saying to you at break that I couldn't do any of that. I literally had to say to this divine, download into me what this is going to look like, what this is going to feel like, how this is going to be after this contract is removed. Because I need to know inside of me that it's going to be okay before I do this work. So that's exactly what happened. I got this download because I asked for it. And the download came, and all of a sudden, all of the agitation, all of the fear, all of the stuff that was inside me going, no, 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 I'm not doing this, was gone. And then it became incredibly easy just to say, thank you, you can remove that now. Uncreate that divine, do with it as you would, right, as you wish to. In other words, surrendering it completely, knowing I don't really know what to do with it. From my vantage point of consciousness, where I am, I, from a place that has words to speak to you, I really don't know whether this divine is going to uncreate it, whether this divine is going to dissolve it, transmute it, nullify it. I don't know, and I don't need to know, because that part of me knows how to do it and just needs me to say, do that, please. I am ready. I am open and committed, and I am ready to do that work. And, yeah, so it's been interesting.
It sounds like it. Looks like we have one of our frequent callers, Raul.
Raul!
We're going to talk to Raul when we come back from break. I think we'll go to break now so that we have a little extra time. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney with us. You can find out more about Tracy at her website, tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
You're the farmer's daughter. You've been teasing us farm boys till we start talking about those rabbits, George. Oh, won't you tell us about those rabbits, George? I'm the defector. I give it what it needs. Let's make a new world order. Let's make it right. You're the chocolate at the end of my cornetto. I love the way your underwire grunt always sets off the X-ray machine. Coming from the land now, I love the color of it all. Blue lights on the runway, I love the color.
people from the mobile phone company. Say who gets to play and who gets to not. You're a picture of the checkout girl. Hand me a plastic bag. I got the sweats trying to open it.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Patient Bernie here. And we have our caller, Raul. So let's bring Raul on because we've been sort of through the break. And hey, Raul.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I think I have a good question for me, for everybody. Hello, Tracy. So nice to talk to you again.
Hello, Raul. How are you?
I'm doing great, actually. I'm doing awesome. I'm excited. My life is going great. So I want to find out if I have a soul contract with my mother, and mainly because, you know, I can relate to what you were talking about, your husband and thoughts or the sexual experience and things like that. With me, my mom is a little different, you know, but every once in a while I get thoughts. But how can this, if there is a soul contract or karmic relationship with my mother somehow, can be playing a role in me manifesting a successful relationship?
Mm. Okay, so when I test into your energy, because you actually gave me permission to do that by just asking, what I'm getting on your behalf is that you actually have a divine soul contract with your mother. My understanding of divine soul contracts is they can last for a lifetime, and maybe they all do. I don't know. You'd have to meditate on that.
Uh-huh.
A divine soul contract is something that was written by a divine intelligence, a very clear, pure love and pure light intelligence that has no agenda, no judgment, no nothing. Wasn't created from some sense of badness or wrongness. In other words, it's divine that it be put in place. Okay? So you have that with your mother. We didn't talk about that in the show, and I'm just going to, because I know we've got a limited time. What that means is divine soul contracts don't mean that you are somehow contractually bound to your mother, and therefore, if she's misbehaving, you have to sacrifice yourself in her presence. That you have to put up with bad behavior from her, and that you can't step away, move away, even move to another city if she's actually misbehaving, turning against people, turning against you. What it means is because you have divine soul contract, it's almost like your opinion means something to her. The best way I can describe it, if you look her in the eyes and you say to her, Mom, you're misbehaving, or Mom, you need to get your life sorted out, or Mom, you are on the wrong track, or Mom, I love what you're doing. When words come from you to your mother, and they're coming from that open-hearted place of just wishing the best for her, they get into her, even if she is incredibly closed, whereas another sibling or a husband or somebody else in the family, their words fall on deaf ears. Does that make sense to you?
Yep, it does make sense. Although I don't think that she's, I can say that the misbehavior can be from running her own life and doing whatever she wants to do, or basically very subtle misunderstandings.
Yes, that's right. But it's not just about your words having power and mm-hmm. having a way into her when things are not going well. It's about your words have power when they are going well. So when you actually hug her and say, I love you, Mom. I love what you're doing. I think what you're doing is great. It has a way in, even if she has shields up or lots of entities around her that day. It's like, it's almost like there's some like magic tube between the two of you. Where something just gets in where it doesn't get in from other people.
I understand.
Okay? Yeah. Okay. So that's that. Your mother has a soul contract with you.
Oh.
Is it divinely guided? No. So you are in a ball of energy with regard to your mother that is coming from her, and you are playing a role within that. And so as you look at the dynamic, if you feel yourself trapped in a role with regard to your mother, like you are behaving in a way that you don't necessarily want to behave in the presence of her, and you feel like it's almost like you can't get out of behaving like that no matter how much you want to, then that's probably you bound in this contract.
Uh-huh.
But you do not have to be bound in that contract. Because it is impairing and impeding on your free will, this is the interesting thing about the law of free will. The minute somebody else's free will overlaps on your free will, you are allowed to do something about it. So you are allowed to talk to this divine within yourself and beyond and ask this divine to dissolve that soul contract between your mother and yourself that was not created by you, it was created by her, but because she bound you in this way and you're not liking being bound in that way and it's actually impeding the freedom of your soul to move in the directions it wants to move, you're asking this divine to release you from it and to dissolve this contract and to bring to your mother at the place of the creating of this, whatever healing, love, light, is required, needed, and necessary from that time that she created that contract, because obviously her heart is hurting from that time. So you are allowed to do that.
Okay? Mm.
And you can do that.
You just give me an answer to one of the biggest questions of my life. Why do I behave the way I behave with my mother?
Yeah. Okay? So do you understand? I am not about anybody impeding against the free will of another. It's almost like see it as two universes that collide together in this contract. And because she has impinged into universe in this way by a contract that is not divinely guided, you are allowed to ask it to be dissolved
mm-hmm.
because she's actually interfering with your free will. And
awesome.
She's interfering with the freedom of your soul. Okay? You also have a family contract. You have a family contract that is not divinely guided, right? So therefore, it's open to be released. As I ask, is it safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest for this to occur? Yes. And then I ask, do you have proxy to ask for the dissolving of this for more than just yourself? Yes, you do. So in other words, I like to think of it as other souls in your family say, okay, Raul, when you get there, and when you become aware of this, you can speak for us. You don't just have to speak for yourself. So release it for all of us. Let your words speak for the whole and collapse it for the whole. We are behind you on this. Okay?
Oh, so, I've had that knowing for a while.
Okay, so all you have to do, because I've worked with you before, all you have to do is get quiet, connect with that divine, just desire for your attention to connect to that core of light, connect to that divine of pure love and pure light inside of you, 100% pure love and pure light. Desire to come from that place, connected to that within you and beyond, and ask from that place that this family contract be dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for you, but for everyone in your family that is affecting both backward and forward, all timelines and dimensions, right? Everywhere, right? And the everywhere, I'm just putting out to this universe that when you speak that everywhere, that it means all dimensions, all timelines. You want your family to be freed of being bound in this way.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay?
Unbelievable.
Now, you know how to contact me, so if you feel like you're, you know how to contact me, so if you're having any issue with this, but I don't think, they're telling me you're not going to. They're telling me that they're already there.
Oh, wow.
They've already heard these words, so all you really have to do is say to them, get into that place with Divine and say, please follow what Tracy has spoken out loud on my behalf.
Wow. And, I will.
And thank you for releasing me from this contract between my mother and I. Forgive us. We love you. We are sorry for what we could not see, for what she could not see, for what she did not know, for what you did not know. You did not know, you could not see that you did not have to maintain a relationship this way with your mother and say yes to this for all these years. That you didn't have to agree to this.
Awesome.
Okay, you good?
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Lori, very much.
Thanks for calling in. Infinite love and gratitude on a continuous stream right into the roots of all of the places that, that called here and asked that question. Love
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Tracy. Laurie.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
All right. So that's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah. It's pretty neat. Can't you feel it?
Yeah.
Like totally. It's already started.
Yeah. I can't wait to see all my contracts. You know it's coming. You know whenever you bring something up, you know.
It's neat, but this is really neat. Like, this is so freeing. Like, it's just, it's a different relationship my husband and I are having. It's just like we're free of something that's been a part of our relationship for always. For all this lifetime, it's been with us in that relationship, and now it's not there.
Wow. All right. So you've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. You can find out more about Tracy at her website, tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. Tracy will be back on August 9th. Maybe.
Okay.
Not. Maybe, hopefully.
I think so.
Okay.
You're
going on vacation, but not hopefully then. All right, perfect. So you've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. So.
No, it's fine.
Okay, good.
It's good.
So back on August 9th, and we'll talk soon. So you've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.